Today's Daf Yomi Shir is sponsored by Dr. Gordon Weingarten, L'Zecher Nishmas, his father, Avram ben Asher Pinchas. We thank him for the sponsorship, and the learning from today from Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches should be an aliyah for the neshama of Avram ben Asher Pinchas, Zichrono Levracha. Okay, we left off on Daf Yud Zayin and Beis. Today's Daf is Daf Yud Ches, but we're still on Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page, where we discussed that we're referring back to how we said that in the Mishnah, that in order for a city to be large enough to have a Sanhedrin, it needs to have 120 people in the city. Then it could have a Sanhedrin Ketana of 23 judges, provided that there are a grand total of 120 people in the city. So, frankly, Gemara, Me'eva Esra, Me'eva Ditayu, since when does the number 120 mean anything in Judaism? Where do we ever find that 120 is a significant number? So the Gemara says, no, there's meaning to it over here. Esra Mishlosha, there's logic. Esra Mishlosha, Keneged Sanhedrin Ketana. You need 23 members of the Sanhedrin, and then you need three rows of people, each composing 23 people, sitting in front of the Sanhedrin, so that leaves you with a total of 92, because 23 times 4 is going to leave you with 92. You need asara batlanim in the Beis HaKnesses, which leads you with another 10, so that's 102. What do the Asar Batlanim do? Well, what's the purpose of the Asar Batlanim? So Rashi says, Asar ben Adam betelin mikol malacha lios mezumanim lebeis haknesses shachris va'arvis. 10 people who will stop any work, will not do any work, in order that they'll be able to come to the Beis HaKnesses, that they'll be ready in the shul, shachris va'arvis. Damrin b'brachos, kivin shabal kodesh baruch lebeis haknesses l'masa shem asara miyad koes. Because if a kodesh baruch comes to shul and he doesn't find 10 people there, he gets angry. The kaimelan kol krach she'in bo asara batlan nidon kikfar hilkach ilasnu lochazi l'sanhedri. So any city that doesn't have 10 people that are able to be Asara Batlanim will not be able to serve as a Sanhedrin. Now, so Rashi seems to assume Asara Batlanim, they don't do any sort of work. The Bar Tanura writes that they're Yoshin Tamid Bebeis HaMedrash, and it sounds like they have to stay there the entire day. That's not only Shachris Varvis, like Rashi says. Rashi says they don't do any work the rest of the day, so that they can always guarantee that they'll be there, Shachris Varvis. Bar Tanura sounds like he says that they sit in the Beis HaMedrash the entire day. The Rambam Megillah Perek Aleph Halaches also, any ear she'in ba'asar batan kivuin bebeis haknesses l'tzarchei tzibur, that whenever there's tzarchei tzibur, you can always go to the Beis Knesses and find them. So you know where to find them, and they're not there to do absolutely nothing. I mean, they can learn all day, and then when you need tzarchei tzibur, they should be ready for the tzarchei tzibur. V'shnei sofrim, you also need two sofrim in every city. So Rashi says, l'chtov divrei amezakin v'divrei mechayvin, meaning these shnei sofrim, we're not talking about scribes who write tefillin and mezuzahs. We're talking about sofrim in the court, to serve in the court. Vishnei chazanin, you also need two chazanin, meaning the people who are going to take care of giving malchus in the Beis Din, of issuing subpoenas in the Beis Din. These are all Beis Din related issues. Ushnei balei dinin, and if you're ever going to have a court case, you need two people to be involved in the court case. You need two balei din. Ushnei edim, and if there's ever going to be any proof to anything in a court case, you're going to need two edim. Ushnei zomimin, and we always need the possibility, edus shatiyach lazima. If it's edus shatiyach lazima, then it's not going to be a good Eidim. So in order for the two Eidim to be good, you need the possibility of having two Eidim to serve as Eidim Zomimin. V'shnei Zomimei Zomimin. And you also need two people who can serve as Zomimei Zomimin, says Rashi. Shnei Zomimei Zomimin. Shema Yischaev Baldin Al Pi Eidim V'yaskir Shnayim Laziman. Because we're afraid a guy is going to become Chayiv in Beis Din, so he's going to hire two people to be Mazim the Eidim. L'fichach Tzarek Shnayim Acherim Be'ir She'yizyaru Elu Mehem. You need those people to have some sort of fear in them that they shouldn't lie, lest someone else come and make them Eidim Zomim. Navu L'hazim Eidim Yavau Elu Ashnayim V'yazimu Osanu. That they're going to at least think in the back of their minds, if we take money from this guy and are mazim the aid that were against him, then two other people are going to come and be mazim us. So you have to have that fear. So right now we're up to 114. So how many more we need? We need six more people in order to understand why it's necessary to have 120 people. V'tanyan, we have a brisa, and within the context of this brisa, although the brisa will tell us some irrelevant things also to our sugya, but from this brisa we're going to see where six more people are necessary. Because the brisa goes on to say, kol ir she'in ba asar dvar malalu, ein talmud chacham rashi lador b'tocha, that any city that doesn't have the following 10 things, a talmud chacham is not supposed to live in such a city. What are the 10 things? Beis din makan vonshin, they need a beis din that's ready to punish. The kupa shel tzedakah nigvus b'shnayim is chalakas b'shlosha. They need a tzedakah account that could be collected by two people and divided and distributed by three people. So now we're already talking about manpower that's needed to run the kupa shel tzedakah. Collection by two, dividing by giving it out with three people, and that's a din in the city. You see that the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. Rav Shachar's quotes. Rav Soloveitchik said that you find several mitzvos that are mitzvos on each yachid. You find other mitzvos that are mitzvos on a rabbim, and you find some mitzvos that are both a mitzvah on a yachid as well as a mitzvah on a rabbim. The mitzvah of tzedakah, for instance, every yachid has a chiyuv to give tzedakah, but there's also a communal chiyuv of tzedakah, that an ear has a din that they have to have a kupa shel tzedakah, and they have to have a system for collecting and distributing tzedakah. You find that we're going to see soon in today's daf, tomorrow's daf also, when it comes to nichum avelim, there's a mitzvah sayachid of going to be menachem and avel, but what do we do in the Beis HaKfaros? We're omid b'shura, provided that you have a minion. If you have a minion of people, you're omid b'shura. What do you need a minion for nichum avelim for? That means that's a separate mitzvah of nichum avelim b'tzibur. It's the tzibur being menachem. So you have certain mitzvahs that are both a mitzvah siyachid and a mitzvah siyibur, a hatzibur. And what else does the city need in order to be a bona fide city that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to live in? It needs a Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaKisei, Rofei, V'uman, V'lavlar, and Uman is a bloodletter, right? Rofei, Rashi translates over here as a Moel, and a Lavlar is a scribe who writes Svarim, and the Girs over here, some have v'tabach, a butcher, or some don't. Umalame tinokos, you need a malame tinokos, you need someone who could teach children Torah. That was the Gemara in Bava Basra, that it used to be that that every father would teach his son Torah. That was the Torah's model of passing on our Masorah. But the problem was that mishiyesh lo av, whoever had a father who could teach him Torah, learn Torah, whoever's father couldn't teach him Torah, the kid nebuch had no chance whatsoever. So they decided they're going to be moshivim malame tinokos in Yerushalayim. Well, that worked to a certain degree. If you lived right near Yerushalayim or in Yerushalayim, every kid was able to learn, but kids from outside of Yerushalayim, if they didn't have a father who could bring them to Yerushalayim, weren't able to learn Torah. So then they decided that they made a takana, that you have to have melamdei tinokos b'chol ir v'ir b'chol pelech pelech. Every single city needs a melamdei tinokos. So that's a din in the city. And it sounds like this is one of the communal institutions that a city needs. Meaning people very often think that when it comes to supporting yeshivos that teach children Torah, that the responsibility lies squarely on the shoulders of the parents of those children. While they may bear a stronger responsibility because, after all, it's their children, even people who don't have children of age that are learning, the young children who are learning Torah in the yeshivos, it's a city institution. It's something that every city has a chiyuv to have. And if you remember that city, so then you're mechuyuv to support that institution, to make sure that that institution is able to survive, that the melamdei tinokos are able to exist. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer, af mine pira, mipnei shemine pira me'ir nesenayim. You also need different types of fruits because that helps me'ir nesenayim, it enlightens the eyes. But the point is over here that you see from this list of things that you need, we see another six people that are necessary. How do we see another six? The two people who collect tzedakah, the three who distribute the tzedakah is five. And we assume that the Rofei, Uman, Lavlar, Melamed Tinokos could all be the same guy. He'll be a busy guy, but, you know, he could be the Moel, the Rebbe, the bloodletter. So he has a lot of, the Sofer, he'll have a lot of different areas of expertise, but none of those things really are living in their own right. So he does all of them together and he'll make a living, he'll be able to survive. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, so Rabbi Nechemia went on and he said, no, 120 people isn't enough. Right, what did he say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Nechemiah said that 120 people is not enough. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Masayim Ushloshim. You need 230 people in the city. So Tanya, Rabbi Omer Masayim Meshiv Meshiva. We have a Brisa that has the third Shita. The Rabbi says you need 277 people in the city. I have a Tanya, Rabbi Omer Masayim Shiv Mushmona. But then we have another Brisa that says that Rabbi says you need 278. Lokasha, Harabiyuda Harabanan. No, it's not a stira at all. It's that's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether Moshe Rabbeinu was included on the Sanhedrin. Whether the Sanhedrin Agadol has 71 people, the Sanhedrin Agadol has only 70 people. Tan Rabban v'samta aleim sorei alafim sorei meos sorei chamishim sorei asaros, that appointed over Klal Yisrael, you need judges over 1,000 people, a judge over 100 people, a judge over 50 people, a judge over 10 people. So sorei alafim sheish meos, if you have 600,000 people and sorei alafim, that means 600 judges if each one is corresponding to each 1,000 people. Sorei meos, if you can have sorei meos, then you need sheishes alafim, you need 6,000 sorei meos. Sorei chamishim, if you need Sari Chamishim, you need 12,000 judges. Sari Asaros, the lower level judges that are Sari Asaros, are Sheshes Ribo, are 60,000. Nimsu Dayani Yisrael. So it turned out how many people of the 600,000 were Dayanim, a very popular profession. Shivas Ribo, Ushmonas Alafim, 78,000 Vishesh Meos and 600. That's how many judges were needed in Klal Yisrael to fill all the positions of the various levels that were that Moshe Rabbeinu had to put into place. It's very difficult to imagine Moshe Rabbeinu personally appointing all of those levels of Dayanim. My father-in-law tried to show me, I didn't understand it, but he tried to show me how the trap shows you that Moshe Rabbeinu only personally appointed the two highest groups, and that the other groups, if you look at the trap carefully, seem to indicate were appointed by someone else or by lower levels, because it's impossible. How can Moshe Rabbeinu know personally that many people that he's able to appoint that many judges? Okay, Hadron Lachdin Yamamas. That's the end of the first parak of Masechet Sanhedrin. So the second parak of Masechet Sanhedrin is called Parak Kohen Gadol. So why do we start talking about the Kohen Gadol now? So if you look at the bottom of Tosfos on the page, V'hadetnan Kohen Gadol Basar Perakama, the reason we mentioned Kohen Gadol after the first parak, Mishum Da'aydi D'tanya Perakama Mili D'Kohen Gadol, since in the first parak we mentioned something related to the Kohen Gadol, because we said that when it comes to the Davar Gadol of a Kohen Gadol, he needs a Sanhedrin Shal Shem Ve'achad. So Pasuk V'shari Le. So we continue to discuss V'hadetani Le Malo Shal Melech, and then we go on and we describe the Milos of a king, the Chashav Minei, who's even more Chashav than in Kohen Gadol. V'achar Kach Chozul In Yanenu L'Hilchos Dinin. But don't worry, we're going to get back to Sanhedrin stuff after that. So we're going to discuss Kohen Gadol, we're going to discuss the Melech, and then we're going to move back to issues relating to a Beis Din and how a Beis Din functions, how a Beis Din runs. Right? That's the third paragraph is going to be Zabor Lo Echad. Zabor Lo Echad, how to choose the Beis Din of three Dayanim with the Zavla system. So we're going to get back to Sanhedrin stuff, and we're just going to take a little bit of a detour through Kohen Gadol and Melech. So says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Dan V'Dan Noso. Kohen Gadol can serve as a judge, and he can be judged. Meir Umidin Noso. He can serve as an aide, and people can be made about him. Choleitz V'Choltzin L'Ishto. He can do Chalitza if his brother dies without children, and and if he dies without children, they could do chalitza, his brother could do chalitza on his wife. So let's say he doesn't want to do chalitza, the brother wants to do yibum on his wife, so the brother can do yibum on his wife, but he's not allowed to do yibum on his brother's wife, because his brother's wife, after his brother dies, is an almana, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, so that's out of the question. If he loses a relative, one of the Zion Krovim, so he's not allowed to follow after the mita, he's not allowed to follow the coffin. He has to stay like one block behind, and every time they turn a corner, that's when he can go on that block. He has to stay out of sight of the coffin, just one step behind, one turn behind wherever the coffin is when he goes out to follow it, because he can't follow directly behind it. He'll follow in that way up until the gate of the city. That's Rameir's shita of how the Kohen Gadol is supposed to operate when he he loses a relative. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einu Yotzi Min HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he never leaves the Mikdash. Mishum Shneamar, Omin HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. That if he loses a relative for the funeral, he shouldn't even leave the Beis HaMikdash for the funeral at all. Now, what's this idea of Hei Niglin V'hu Nechasa, Hei Nichsin V'hu Nigla? So Rashi says, what are we afraid of? Why can't he just follow behind the Mita? So says Rashi, Dilma Asa L'Minga. We're afraid that he's going to come to touch the coffin, that sometimes in his grief he's going to throw himself on the coffin, or he'll just come to try to carry it or to touch it in some way. And that's how Rabbi Meir understands the pasuk Rashi is drawing from tomorrow's daf. That's how Rabbi Meir understands the pasuk. It doesn't mean literally he's not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash. It means he's not allowed to leave his kedusha. He has to stay in his high level of kedusha, to stay away from anything that's unclean. Shelo yavul de tuma, that he shouldn't come to any sort of tuma. V'hayich rabbi koin gadol oneng siv d'chsiv la'elmin elav limaloi tama. And in what context does the Torah tell us that he has to retain his kedusha? When he's an oneng. So that's the Torah telling us that he shouldn't follow after the coffin, because if he follows after the coffin, he might come to touch the coffin. This is an unbelievable Rashi, because what's Rashi telling us? That there's an isudar raisa for the Kohen Gadol to follow the coffin, because he might come to touch the coffin. Normally, Nisa D'Oraisa is, it's an Nisa D'Oraisa because it's Aser. It's not a Nisa D'Oraisa because it might come to lead to something else. That's generally how we would view a Nisa D'Rabanan. The concept of a Siyag, generally we associate with a D'Rabanan. In fact, the Ramban is Cholik. The Ramban says that it's only Nisa D'Rabanan over here. But Rashi seems to assume it's a Nisa D'Oraisa. We've discussed in the past, Rav Yosef Engel in the Sefer, Lekach Tov, Klal Ches, has a piece where he discusses Yivaer imatsinu isu diaraisa mitam siag. He says, I'm going to explain in this essay whether we ever find such a thing as a siag d'oraisa, where the Torah itself tells you not to do something, lest you come to do something else. And he says, V'yayir b'zeh miyud zayin mekomos. And I'll show you 17 places in Shas and Poskim where you find the siag d'oraisa. And he says 17, but then afterwards he added in the Kuntros Achron that he found another two. So he has 19 places where you find the siag d'oraisa. Some of the more famous examples, Bali Rab Bali Matze is Nisa d'oraisa, according to Rashi, Shami Yavalachlo, that the Torah says, because lo bedili inshimine, people are not used to staying away from chametz, so we were afraid that if you have it around, you're going to forget yourself and you'll come to eat it. So Bali Rab Bali Matze is a siag d'oraisa. The Isser of a Nazir to eat grapes. What's the Isser of a Nazir to eat grapes? It's Nisa d'oraisa, but it's a siag d'oraisa. He also has chatzi shir min haTorah, might only be a siag d'oraisa. That if you chatzi shir, it's only means chazi l'tzarufe, that it's chatzi shir is also because it's siag d'oraisa, lest you come to eat a whole shir. He wanted to be mechadesh, that maybe you wouldn't have a double siag d'oraisa. There would be no siag l'siag d'oraisa. So for a nazir to eat chatzi shir of grapes, he thought maybe it would be mutter, because that's a double siyag d'oraisa. Each one is only siyag. Just like we don't make a gzeru l'gzeru when they're both rabbanans, maybe the Torah itself doesn't make a siyag l'siyag. Bishul Basar B'chalav, the Kesem Mishnah writes in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tumas Meis, that the Torah was only asked being mevashal basar b'chalav k'dei shelo yavo l'achlo, because then you might come to eat the basar b'chalav that was cooked together. Many, many other examples. Negia b'der chiba, depending whether you hold like the Rambam Ramban, if it's an Issa d'oraisa to do negia b'der chiba, that might also be a siag d'oraisa. Many, many examples. Again, 19 examples of cases of siag d'oraisa. So Rashi says, this is one example of siag d'oraisa. I don't remember if he quoted in the piece. I didn't go through all of them, but this would be another good example. I don't know if he mentions it. Probably does. He mentions every example. But this idea of the Kohen Gadol not going at Lachar Hamita is also Siag D'Oraisa in Rashi's view. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Ukshu Menachim Acherim, when the Kohen Gadol has to be Menachim other people, Derech Kalam over in Bezeach Harzeva, Munu Mematzo, Beino Levein Am. So typically the way the Nichum Avelim would work is different than the way we do it. The way we do it when we do Nichum Avelim Beshura in the Beis HaKfaros is we line up in two rows and the Avel walks in between, and we're menachim as he walks, but we stand still, and the avel walks in between. Apparently, the way it used to be done was the opposite: was that the avel would stand still, and the lines would pass by him to be menachim the avel. The Gemara says, ready in the times of the Gemara, they changed this. And then they tried to change it back, but whatever, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. But that was apparently the practice. So when the Kohen Gadol was going and being Menachem the Avel, yes, he would walk by the Avel on the one side, but on the other side, he would have the Mamuna stand on his other side. So the Mamuna would sandwich him between the Mamuna and the Avel. They would sandwich the Kohen Gadol in between them. So who's the Mamuna? So Rashi says, and it's going to be the Gemara in tomorrow's daf, that Mamuna is the Sagan. The Sagan Kohen Gadol is the Mamuna. When the Kohen Gadol is receiving Nechama, because he's the Avel, Kol Ha'am Omrim Lo Anu Kaparascha. Everybody says to him, we are your Kapara. And he gives them a bracha that they should have a bracha min Hashemayim. Ukshemavrin Oso, when they give the Suda Savra to him, Kol Ha'am Asubin Ala Aretz V'Mesav Ala Safsal. Everyone else sits on the ground, he sits on a bench. Hamelech, so that's in terms of the Kohen Gadol. Hamelech, now the rest of the Mishnah is going to be about a king. Hamelech has slightly different rules than a Kohen Gadol. Lo dan, v'lo danin oso. He's not allowed to judge, nor do they judge him. Lo meid, v'lo meidin oso. He's not allowed to be made, he doesn't give edus, nor can anyone give edus about him. Lo choletz, v'lo choltzin l'ishto. He can't do chalitza if his brother dies without any children, nor can they do chalitza on his wife if he dies without any children. Lo miyabim, v'lo miyabim l'ishto. He can't do yibum, nor do they do yibum on his wife. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im ratzo lachlot, so liyabim zach l'tov. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, if he wants to do chalitza or to do yibum, so that's a fine thing, let him do it. Meaning the point is, we don't force him to do chalitza or yibum because we don't make him be mochel on his kavod. But if he wants to be mochel on his kavod to that extent, to go do chalitza or yibum, so that's a wonderful thing. We admire that. Amru lo ein shomun lo. And the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda, no, absolutely not. We do not allow him to do yibum v'chalitza. Ve'ein nosin almanaso. You're not allowed to marry the almana of a melech. Rabbi Yehuda omer, nosei ha-melech almanaso shel melech. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if you're a king, then you can marry the almana of a melech as well. Shekein matzinu b'David shenos almanaso shel shal, because we find that David ha-melech married Shaul's almana. Shenemar ve'etna l'cha es beis adonecha v'esnu shei adonecha b'cheikecha. So we see nishei adonecha b'cheikecha means that David ha-melech married Shaul's almanas. How is he allowed to do it? Because a melech is allowed to marry almanuso shel melech. It's just no one else is allowed to marry almanuso shel melech. So now the Gemara is going to take apart line by line of the Mishnah and show, question each line, show the sources for each line, etc. So, number one, Kohen Gadol, done. First line of the Mishnah was, Kohen Gadol can serve as a judge. Pshita. Why shouldn't a Kohen Gadol be able to serve as a judge? It seems obvious that a Kohen Gadol can serve as a judge. So answers the Gemara, done no so tzrichalei. The Chiddush is that we can judge the Kohen Gadol. Not that he can serve as a judge, but they can judge him. Frak the Gemara, Hanami Pshita. That's also obvious. Ilo danin lai iu hechidayon. If they can't judge him, how could he possibly serve as a judge? Vaksivis koshu v'koshu. One of the qualifications you need to be able to serve as a judge is the fact that other people are able to look at you also. That they could be dan you. That if you can't judge yourself, or you can't be judged yourself, then you're ineligible to be able to judge other people. There's a lot of mussar in that line, right? And the idea that that it's very important in general, even when we're not talking about when we're not talking about formally serving as a judge, when you want to be danis chavero in your own eyes, when you want to make declarations or ideas or formulate ideas in your own mind about whether your friend is guilty of one thing or another, one indiscretion or another, a person has to be careful to look at himself before he looks at other people. If a person can't be judged himself, then he has no right to go ahead and judge other people. First make sure you're okay, then you take care of other people. Right, put the mask on yourself before you take care of the children. So you take care of yourself in terms of your own moral standing before you take care of everybody else's moral standing. It's like Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva where he talks about what's important for a Rebbe, for a mechanech to do or to have. So he doesn't discuss how important it is for a mechanech to be dynamic and charismatic and know how to play football with the kids. What does he talk about? That it's important for a mechanech to be able to be a role model. That if he's going to expect the children to live up to, and he's going to teach the children how to live up to certain standards, so he needs to live up to those standards himself. And it's true of a mechanech, it's obviously even more true of a parent, that it shouldn't be do as I say, not as I do. You have to make sure that we live up to our own standards before we impose those standards on anybody else, especially children and talmidim, etc. Rav Moshe also interestingly says in that tshuva, that's in Yerodei Chelek Gimel. He discusses that it's important that the Rebbeim in the yeshiva get along with each other. That if there's infighting, so if there's no shalom, he says you have nothing. You wonder if he was talking about very famous incidents of fighting in yeshivas that perhaps were going on in his time. But that's a very critical thing, that there shouldn't be fighting between Rashi Yeshiva in a yeshiva, that if you don't have the shalom, you're not going to have anything. But anyway, so bottom line is, isn't it obvious that obviously Kohen Gadol, if he can dan, then obviously he could be judged, because you're not allowed to dan unless you can be judged. So No, why do we mention it? Because once we mention the idea that a melech is lo dan v'lo dan noso, so we mention a kohen gadol is dan v'dan noso. But you're right, in a chanami, there's no chiddush in the kohen gadol per se in that line. The chiddush is really in the melech. But once we mention the melech, we contrast all the halachas of the melech with those halachas of the kohen gadol. Or maybe there is a chiddush, and the chiddush is as follows: Kiditanya Kohen Gadol Sharagas Nefesh B'Mezid Nerag B'Shogei Gola. If a Kohen Gadol kills somebody, so if he kills somebody B'Mezid, he gets killed just like anybody else who commits murder. If he kills somebody B'Shogeg, he goes to Golos just like anybody else who kills B'Shogeg. Va'over Alasei V'Alos Asei. And a Kohen Gadol violates an Asei and Alos Asei. Rashi points out the Gemara is going to question this line of the Brisa. What, a Kohen Gadol is a mitzvah to violate an Asei and Alos Asei? He's supposed to go out of his way to violate averos. And he's treated like a regular guy when he does averos. So before we get to that last line to discuss what in the world that means, first we go before that. Isn't it obvious that if a Kohen Gadol commits murder on purpose, that he's going to get killed? Why wouldn't he get killed? No, the chiddush is that he's going to go to Golos if he kills Bishogeg. That's a chiddush. Why is that a chiddush? Hanami pshita. Isn't that also obvious? Isrich salka daita chamina holuksiv v'yashava and mosa koin gadol. That I might have thought, since when does a guy stay in Golos until the koin gadol dies? Ema kol disle takanta bechazara ligli tlesle takanta bechazara lo ligli. So I might think anyone who's able to ever come out of Golos is able to go to Golos. But if you have no way of ever getting out of Golos, then you don't go to Golos in the first place. Obviously, the koin gadol has no way of ever getting out of Golos, because the Kohen Gadol at the time that he killed was himself. So the only way to get out is by dying. If someone kills a Kohen Gadol, or a Kohen Gadol kills somebody else, never leaves Golos. So I might think, if he could never leave Golos, maybe he should never go there in the first place. Maybe he's not chayiv to go there in the first place. That's what it's coming to teach me, that a Kohen Gadol does go to Golos. So fact the Gemara of Eima Hachinami, but it sounded like a reasonably good drasha. No? Why not say that? Why not say that a person is only able to go to Golos if he has the ability to leave Golos with the Mises Kohen Gadol? Why do we say Kamash Milan otherwise? What's Kamash Milan? Where does it ever say otherwise? So answers the Gemara, Amar Kral Lanus Shama, Kol Rotzeach, Afilu Kohen Gadol B'mashma. It says that any Rotzeach has to run there, any Rotzeach has the ability to run there. It's a Beferish in the Pasuk, it's Kol Rotzeach. So we see that even a Kohen Gadol is included in Kol Rotzeach, so everybody, even if you're the Kohen Gadol, has to go to Golos in the first place. If you look at Rashi in the top, Hahori Kohen Gadol B'Shogei Golo Li'ir Miklat Ve'inu Yotzim Misham Li'olam, a guy who kills the Kohen Gadol never gets out of the Ir Miklat. Tikivadein Kohen Gadol B'Mikdash K'shi Gola B'Misas Mi'yashav. Why does someone who kills the Kohen Gadol never get out of the Ir Miklat? Because he already killed the Kohen Gadol. Which Kohen Gadol's death is going to let him out of the Ir Miklat? The new Kohen Gadol? Well, that's a new Kohen Gadol. That wasn't the Kohen Gadol at the time that he was sent to the Ir Miklat. V'chein Kohen Gadol Sharagas HaNefesh, meaning, bottom line is, there was no Kohen Gadol when he went to the Ir Miklat. So there's no Kohen Gadol whose death is going to free him from the Ir Miklat. There was no Kohen Gadol when he went there in the first place. V'chein Kohen Gadol Sharagas HaNefesh. And the same is true when Kohen Gadol kills somebody, B'Shogeg, V'Misas Mi'yashav, like a Kohen Gadol. Whose Misa is going to set him free? There is no Kohen Gadol there to set him free. Now, the Ritva in Maseches Makos and Daf Aleph Amud Beis asks that Rashi and Tosov here says, Tosov, if you look at Tosov, even more clear, that Tosov's Pirush Kagon Shalom Minu Acher Ach Nigmar Dino. It has to be that they didn't appoint anybody else until he had a Gemar Din. Meaning, what's the emphasis here? It's not so much that the Kohen Gadol was involved in the case. The point is that there was no Kohen Gadol at the time that the case happened. So really, let's say someone kills the Kohen Gadol, let's say the Kohen Gadol has a heart attack. So before they appoint a new Kohen Gadol, someone else kills somebody b'shogeg. So what would his halacha be? Does he ever get out of the Eir Miklat? So it sounds like according to Rashi Tosfos, he doesn't either ever get out of the Eir Miklat. Because the point is that if there's no Kohen Gadol when you go, then there's no Mises Kohen Gadol is going to free you. They appoint a new Kohen Gadol afterwards. Yeah, but that's not your Kohen Gadol. Your Kohen Gadol has to be the one who's the Kohen Gadol when you first were Nigmar Dino, or when you first killed Bishogeg. And if there was no Kohen Gadol, that's it. So Fret the Ritva, it sounds very strange though. The Gemara doesn't make it sound like it could be anybody. The Gemara makes it sound like it has to be a case of the Kohen Gadol himself. And Rashi and Tosfos make it sound, yeah, it could really be anybody who kills Bishogeg at a time when there's no Kohen Gadol. No, it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, says the Ritva. Also, it's a Mishnah Shein Tzricha, says the Ritva, because it says in the Resha, Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol, he's a Niyotzi Mishom Liolam. Why would it then need to say, Hori Kohen Gadol Shaharag? It already says earlier that Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol. What's being added by when you say Hori Kohen Gadol or Kohen Gadol Shaharag? So the Ritva says that there's a special Gzeres HaKasov, nothing to do with the fact that there's no Kohen Gadol. Special Gzeres HaKasov that when the Kohen Gadol kills, or when the Kohen Gadol gets killed, that there's no leaving the Eir Miklat. It's a Gzeres HaKasov, nothing to do with the fact that there happens to be no Kohen Gadol whose death can free him. That's a separate din. This is a special Gzeres HaKasov, even if there is a Kohen Gadol. There may mana a new Kohen Gadol in time. By the time they have the Gemar Din, if the Kohen Gadol is involved in the case, then there's no freeing from the Eir Miklat. He says, the Lonita of Kapar LeKohen Gadol, Elk She'ein Beritzicha Shaychus LeKohen Gadol, says the Ritva. LeKapara Nichtavu V'lo LeRitzicha. That's the Kohen Gadol's role in the Eir Miklat can only be one of Kapara. It can't be one of being involved in the Ritzicha itself. That's not the role he gets to play in the Eir Miklat. He says it's Gzeres HaKasov. It's a little bit difficult to figure out what pasuk it is that's Gzeres HaKasov from, but he says it's Gzeres HaKasov, that's the Din D'Oraisa. Fine, so that's the Ritva. Good. Then the Braisa went on to say, now we're going back to the Braisa that we just quoted. Over al Aseh v'al Los Aseh. So we said the Kohen Gadol violates an Aseh and a Los Aseh. So frankly, Gemara, really? He has to? Lo Sagi de lo Avar? He must violate an Aseh and a Los Aseh? No, Hachi Kamara, obviously not. This is what it means to say. Im Avar al Aseh v'al Los Aseh, Harei u'kehed yot l'chal Devarav. If he violates an Aseh and a Los Aseh, Bezin treats him like a regular guy. So says Gemara Peshitta, of course Bezin is going to treat him like a regular guy who violates an Avera. Why shouldn't they? So Salkatai Techamina Holu Tanan. I am at a foot, since it says in the Mishnah, Ein Dan Los Hashem Velos Naviyah Sheker, Velos Kohen Gadol Al Pi Bezin Shal Shem Vechad. I am at a foot, just since it says in the Mishnah on Daf Bez, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that in order to deal with the Kohen Gadol, you need a Bezin Shal Shem Vechad, Vamar Vadabar Avakol Adavar Gadol Yaviyah Lech Devar Shal Gadol, Ema Kol Devar Shal Gadol. I might have thought that any case involving the Kohen Gadol, even if it's a small claims case, even if it's a monetary case involving Kohen Gadol, any case involving Kohen Gadol, I might have thought you need to bring to the Sanhedrin Gadol Yerushalayim that Kol Devar Shal Gadol, any Aveira he does, any mitzvah so say he doesn't do, all has to be dealt with the Sanhedrin, by the Sanhedrin Gadol. Therefore, comes to tell me, no, that's not true. What has to be brought to the Sanhedrin HaGadol that involves the Kohen Gadol? Only cases of dinin nefashos. When he violates an asay, lo sasay, he's like a hediot. You bring him to any other regular beisdin, beisdin shalchav gimel, to give him malchus or something. You don't bring him to the Sanhedrin HaGadol for every situation. Ay ve machinami, why not? After all, doesn't it say devarav shal gadol? Doesn't devarav shal gadol mean that you bring him to the Sanhedrin HaGadol for everything? So no, miksiv divrei gadol, hadavar hagadol ksiv, davar gadol mamish. It doesn't say divrei gadol, all matters pertaining to the gadol. It's great matters pertaining to great people, big issues in his life. The chiddush is it's only in his life, meaning it's an issue in his life. Normally a big issue in anybody else's life can be dealt with by Sanhedrin Katana. It's national issues that are dealt with by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Chiddush of the Kohen Gadol is any big issue in his life, any dini nefashos in his life, has to be dealt with by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. What's this idea, though, that when it comes to a Kohen Gadol who doesn't do a mitzvah saseh, I shouldn't say doesn't do, a Kohen Gadol is over on a mitzvah saseh, that it has to be dealt with just like a Beis Din deals with a Hedyot who's over a mitzvah sasei? Since when does Beis Din deal with anybody who's over a mitzvah sasei? If I don't do a mitzvah sasei, what's the punishment? If I violate a law, what's the punishment? Malchus, right? I don't do a mitzvah sasei, what's the punishment? There's no punishment. There's no onesh. on a bittul asay. So what are we even talking about? That he doesn't do mitzvah asay, so the Bezin's going to deal with him? Bezin doesn't deal with a guy who doesn't do a mitzvah asay. That's something that Kodesh Baruch Hu will deal with. Achar Me'ev Esrim Shana has nothing to do with Bezin. So the Yad Ramah writes that we're talking about a guy that they tell him, build a sukkah, and he doesn't build it. They tell him, take a lulav, and he's not known to the lulav. Where we're makano such a tetzin nafsho, meaning it's makas mardus. That the Beis Din does sometimes deal with someone who doesn't do a mitzvah say, they give makas mardus, the makanos hashtetze nafsho. Isn't makas mardus only yud gimel? Isn't that one of the difference between malchus daraisa and makas mardus? And malchus daraisa is 39 lashes, makas mardus is only 13 lashes. So I think we've pointed out in the past that there are two types of makas mardus. There sometimes we'll give makas mardus when we're trying to get somebody to do something, so we're going to hit him until he does it. Achetetze nafsho, we'll keep hitting him until he agrees to do it. Sometimes we're going to give makas mardus on the fact that somebody didn't do something, and it's too late to do. It's just that we're punishing him for that which he didn't do. So when the makas mardus is for something that was in the past, but it's too late to correct, then there's only going to be yud gimel makas mardus. That's a question. The machlokas ksos and nesivas, whether the idea of kofen al mitzvos requires a beis din at all. Right, it sounds from this Yad Ramah that what are we talking about a mitzvah saseh that we're going to the Beis Din for, that it's for Makas Mardus to be kofi him, to take a lulav, be kofi him, to sit in sukkah. It sounds like you need a Beis Din for that. It's machlokes ksos and nesivos whether in fact you need a Beis Din for something like that or you don't need a Beis Din for that. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Meir u'mi'idin oso. The Kohen Gadol could be made and we could be made about him. So if says Gemara Meir, he can be made. Vatanya, don't we have a brisa? V'salamta pam shata misalim pam shiata misalim. Pasuk when it describes the Shavas Aveda says v'salamta. Now, if you actually look at the context, what the pasuk actually says, what the pasuk really says is lo sira es shara chicha oaseo nidachem v'salamta mehem hashev tshiv machecha, which means do not see somebody else's item and hide from it. Rather, return it. But the Gemara darshins, this alamta could be understood independently, as if you have a chiyuv to yes hide from something, or at least a right to yes hide from something. That this alamta is not telling me what not to do, on some level it's telling me what yes to do. This alamta, pam shata misalim, pam shiata misalim. There are some times that it's appropriate to see someone else's aveda and not to pick it up. And there are some times that you're not allowed to hide from the Aveda, that you have to pick it up. Okay, son, where do we ever have a situation where you're supposed to be misalim? Kohen vu b'beis hakvaros. Let's say you're a Kohen and the Aveda is in the beis hakvaros. So you shouldn't say, oh, let me go pick it up. What's the big deal? So I'll become tamei. No, you don't go do Hashavas Aveda in that situation. Or zaken v'ena l'fi kvodo. Or let's say you're a zaken, you're a Talmud Chacham, and the particular Aveda is something that's in l'fi kvodo for you to be walking around with. So you see a pair of underwear in the street and you think you might be able to find the owner of that underwear. You don't pick it up to walk around the street with a pair of underwear. It's not l'fi kvodo of the zaken. So in that situation, it's v'salamta. A person should be misalim. Oshay so malacha shalom ruba mishal chavero. Or your time is more valuable than whatever it is that you're going to be giving back. Well, the item you're giving back is worth 2 cents. You get paid. You bill in your $1,000 an hour for your time. So your time is much more valuable. Kach nemar v'salamta. That's why it says v'salamta, to tell me that there are certain times where it's supposed to be v'salamta. Says Rashi, lekach nemar v'salamta. Alma kavra brios docha lav de losucha lisalim. What you see from v'salamta is human dignity, that you shouldn't have to walk around carrying something that's beneath your dignity, is docha losase in the Torah of losucha lisalim. What does it have to do with us, with the Kohen Gadol, and his serving as an aide or being an aide against him? So hachanami zilusu legabe Kohen Gadol leisi lasude lebal din. That it's a zilusa to the Kohen Gadol to come and have to be made about somebody else, about some regular commoner. So therefore, that's what we're trying to prove. That we're trying to ask Akasha, how could it be that Kohen Gadol's meyid? Isn't it a zaken v'ed l'fi kvodo? Don't we know that Kavod HaBriyos is docha? These are los haseis in the Torah. So the Kavod HaBriyos should be docha. Also, the Kavod HaBriyos of the Kohen Gadol should be docha. The chiyuv to come in, to be meyid. So this is a little bit difficult, though. The Bir Halacha in Siman Reish Nun quotes the Kasha of the Chavis Yair. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us about how the various Amoraim would prepare for Shabbos. That this one would sweep the floor, and they would do all sorts of demeaning tasks in order to prepare for Shabbos. So, frek the Chavis Yair, I Gadol Kavod HaBriyos shudocha los haseisha b'Torah. So, why isn't Kavara, and the Gemara in Bracha says, Lo says Lo Sasser, it's Docha every Durabanan in the Torah, so why shouldn't Kavara be Docha? And they shouldn't be involved in the preparations themselves. So the Bir Halacha quotes from the Prima Gadim that whenever it's nicker that you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah and for the cover of Hashem Yisparach, then it's not going to be an issue of kavod abrios. Then it's not a problem of human dignity. Masha'ein kein, where it's not nicker, where it's not obvious that you're being osik in a mitzvah, like by Hashavas Aveda, you're carrying a pair of underwear around. No one knows why you're carrying a pair of underwear around. No one realizes that you're doing a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It's not nicker that you're doing this as a mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then we're going to say you have to be concerned about the kavod abrios. And the Bir Halach says that's miyashev, what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that Rav Nachman himself was osek in mitzvahs maka. Why was he himself osek in building a fence? Isn't that beneath his dignity to sit there building a fence? No, but the point is that it's nikkud. He's building it on the roof, so obviously it's a mitzvah. So based on that, this sugya is a little bit difficult. Eidos is also evident that it's a mitzvah. Right? The Gemara is asking, kavod abrios, how could he go and issue eidos? Isn't it a problem of kavod abrios? He's going to be mezalzel himself. What do you mean? It's not zilzal. Everyone knows saying Eidos is kvot shemayim. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. So I'm not 100% sure exactly how to understand this Gemara in light of that Bir Halacha, or how that Bir Halacha would understand this Gemara. Okay, there are other chilukim that are mentioned. The Chavos Yair himself, that the Bir Halacha quotes, says that the difference is Talmud Chacham is also to be mochel on his kavod, and therefore he can't be machmir to be meishav veda. That's not lefi kavodo, which is a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero. That whenever it has to do with mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, that's where he's not going to be mochel on his kavod. But mitzvah ben adam l'makom, so then he can be mochel on his kavod. But still, over here it sounds like a ben adam l'chavero to be made against somebody. Amar Rav Yosef made the melech. Rav Yosef says, no. You know what the situation is where the Kohen Gadol is made? He's made for a melech. He's not made for stam anybody. You're right. That would be beneath his dignity. He's made for a king. But it says Vayter in the Mishnah that a king never stands trial. So what do you mean he's made for a king? So Elam Rav Zera made the ben melech. He's made for a king's son. That must be the case. Frankly, Mark ben melech had you to. There's no concept of prince in Judaism. There's a concept of a king. There's not even a concept of a queen. The only concept of queen, we have melech v'lo malka. Sometimes melech v'lo malka is a din that if there's no melech, don't put a woman as melech. That's what melech v'lo malka means. But there's no concept of the wife of the king other than the fact that, you know, you're not allowed to marry al manasseh shel melech. There's no concept of a king's family being royalty. There's no royal family. There's a royal person. There's a melech. A ben melech is a nobody. Elamayid bifnei melech. Rather, the Kohen Gadol could be made if the melech happens to be sitting in court. Says Rashi, why is the melech sitting in court? Because it's a case involving his son. So he's sitting in court. Meaning, we're not going back on that answer now. We're saying, yes, it involves the son, and yes, the son himself is a hedyot, but since the king is in the courtroom, it's not beneath the dignity of the Kohen Gadol to be made in that case. I have in Moshev and Melech of Sanhedrin, but a Melech is not allowed to serve in the Sanhedrin. Mishum Yakut of Engadol, Asav Yasav, Mekabli Nalei of Sadusei. But because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, he comes and he sits in the court while they're Mekabli the Eidos from the Kohen Gadol. Kayehu Vazil, then he gets up and he leaves. And we go and we look into the din. These few lines of Gemara sound like we're not still talking about a Ben Melech. A little difficult in Rashi how he could assume that the case of the Kohen Gadol sitting in front of the Melech when he says his Eidos is Dafka talking about a case of a Ben Melech. Doesn't sound like these few lines in the Gemara, because these few lines in the Gemara make it sound like the Melech himself is eligible or would be eligible to sit on that Sanhedrin. Okay, Gufa, in Moshev Melech Sanhedrin, lo Melech Kohen Gadol b'Ibur Shana. We don't put a Melech in the Sanhedrin, nor a Melech in the Kohen Gadol involved in Ibur Shana. Melech Sanhedrin d'chsiv lo San al Riv, lo San al Rav. A Melech we don't put in the Sanhedrin because it says lo San al Riv, and we darshan that it means lo San al Rav. Lo Melech Kohen Gadol b'Ibur Shana, Melech Mishmaf Sanya. A Melech can't serve for Ibur Shana because we assume he's biased because he pays his employees by the year, so he gets an extra free month of service out of his employees. One of the only things that comes free in this world is if you hire somebody on an annual salary and the year is extended by a month, you get a month of extra service, like when you pay for yeshiva for the year and they add in an extra adar, so you get an extra month of tuition. The only thing that comes free in the world, Kohen Gadol Mishum Tzina. Kohen Gadol is also biased in terms of being Ma'abed Hashana, because if he's not Ma'abed Hashana in Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur comes out at a later time, or if he is Ma'arav B'Dashan, Yom Kippur comes out at a later time, it's going to be freezing. And he doesn't want to be cold on Yom Kippur because he's got to go into the mikveh a million times. It's going to be freezing. So he doesn't want Yom Kippur to be freezing. He wants Yom Kippur to be nice and warm. So that's why Kohen Gadol can't serve an Ibar Shana. Amra Papa Shemami Nashasa Basar Yarcha Azil. What we see is that we follow the months when it comes to the year, and we're not interested in what the weather is when it comes to determining whether to be Ma'arav B'Dashana. So frankly, Mara Eidi Vahana Gimel Roy Bakar Davu Kaimi V'Shamin Rabban Dekamri. Were three Roy Bakr who were speaking in Chadam, or one of them says, you know how I know if it's Chodesh Adar? In Bakr V'Lakish B'Chadah Yinatz Din Hu Adar. If the early and the later blossom at the same time, that's Adar. V'Imlav less than Adar. And if not, then it must still be Shvat, it's not Adar. V'Chadam in Tur B'Tzafer B'Tel Yamus B'Tiyar B'Tel Tiyanei Yidmach Yishlach Mashkei Din Hu Adar. V'Imlav less than Adar. If in the morning it's so cold that the shore is about to die because it's cold, and in the afternoon the heat gets so great that he wants to peel off his skin because he's so hot, that's Adar. And that's how you'll know it's Adar. If not, then it's not Adar. V'chad amar, im kidum takuf l'chada yehei, yifach blueich nafik likvalei dein hu Adar, v'imlav les dein Adar. If the wind is not so cold that when it blows the cold wind, you could blow back and overcome that cold wind, then it's not, then it's Adar. Otherwise, it's not Adar. V'ibrur Rabbanon li'yishas, Rabbanon heard that, and they said, oh, we better be ma'arav d'shana because the weather doesn't fit. So don't you see that the weather is also a determination of being Ma'arav B'Dashana? And to the Gemara, no, v'tizmer Rabbanan aravasa samach. Why, you think the Rabbanan are relying on Roe Bakar to determine how to be Ma'arav B'Dashana? No! El Rabbanan achush b'nayu samach. Roe Bakar, stayu, distayu mil sayu. The Rabbanan made their own cheshbonos. The Roe Bakar happened to say things about the weather that happened to help along, and they'll include anything in their proclamation of being Ma'arav B'Dashana, anything that supports their din Torah of what they decided to do. Okay.